Life Audio.
The Bible Study Podcast, episode 860. Today, the Bible Study Podcast continues a study of the book of Psalms with Psalm 120. Welcome to the Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. We're going to continue on with the study of Psalms, Psalm 120. We're probably going to do at least three Psalms today. We're entering into the Songs of Ascent. And the Songs of Ascent are songs that mean to go up. And there's two different theories. One is that they were for pilgrims who were going up to Jerusalem for one of the different festivals. And the other one is that the 15 Psalms of Ascent match the 15 steps of the temple. So we'll continue on with Psalm 120, the first of these, but first a word from this sponsor.
Did you know that the Salvation Army not only provides services to those in need, but we also produce a network of Christian podcasts you can listen to on your favorite podcast store? One of these shows, Words of Life, is a 15-minute weekly show featuring interviews, testimonies, Bible studies, and more. In April, we'll once again hear from author and pastor Natalie Runyon. She has created a new 6-week discipleship course for women to talk about community, women in leadership, accountability, and more.
We want discipleship to be what's drawing people, not bounce houses. They're more likely to come back and not just to be entertained. Even in me, you know, making him have to pry it from my hands, he was still saying, but I have something better. It was because of the redeemed saying so, of telling the story of what God had done. When we point people to him, they're going to want to know him.
Listen to Words of Life on your favorite podcast store or visit wordsoflifepodcast.org.
Psalm 120, a song of ascent. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Two different things going on here. One is this lying tongues. The psalmist lives among people with lying tongues. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me, save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. And we know that lying is bad. We learned that from our parents. I hope you learned that from your parents, or if not, from your Sunday school teacher or your kindergarten teacher or someone. But there are different ways that lying can be bad. Lying can be bad because somebody's lying about us, and there are things that are untrue. And it's so hard, as we've talked about before, to put lies back in the bottle. There's something that clings with lies. And so if people say things about us that are untrue or about other people that are untrue, even if you hear the truth, the lie tends to persist. What is it? The lie can make it halfway around the world before truth even gets out of bed. Isn't that the way the saying goes? And so that's one problem. And the other problem, I think, with lies is the lies that we believe. And if you think about that, whether we're talking politics, obviously, there's a great place for lies, or you're talking heresies, or you're talking at work, you know, that somebody is trying to move you in a different direction and they're lying about what's going on, or all sorts of different places where if we get caught up in lies, it also can have bad consequences. If we're acting in ways that we think, for instance, are the right way, but it turns out it's based on a lie, how difficult that is. So the trouble with lies, and one of the reasons why God hates lies, is the damage that they do. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom bush. This is how much God hates liars. This is what God doesn't want us to be doing. Woe to me, for I dwell in Meshech, and I live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And the thing we have to remember is, it's tough. I think of right now, I'm in the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Russia clearly invaded, so I'm on the side of Ukraine, I would have to say, because I'm on the side in general of the ones who are defending their freedom rather than those who are attacking and invading. But news just happened, for instance, that there were civilians who were killed in a terrorist attack in Moscow. And what should I say? Should I hate the people who are in Moscow because I like the people who are in Ukraine? You know, can I both disapprove of what happened in Gaza, where Hamas went out and attacked Israel and took hostages, but also disapprove how Israel has come in and attacked and killed civilians there? It's easy for us to pick a side and decide that this side is right and always right. And I think God is on the side quite often of peace and of love and understanding. And so the psalmist here has problems with, he is living among people, he says, who hates peace, and he is for peace. And it's tough to be for peace, because sometimes you have to be for peace even when it's uncomfortable. You have to be for peace for the person you don't like as well as the person you do. Going on for Psalm 121, a song of ascent. Again, number 2 out of 15. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is an encouraging psalm, and it's interesting. This song, remember that all psalms are songs, the song of ascent here. Remember thinking about this as, and I want to use in that controversy of what the psalms are ascent for, I like that idea of that these are songs that pilgrims would sing as they head up towards Jerusalem. And so think about that. If people are heading up towards Jerusalem and they're heading to the holy city and they're heading there to worship, this prayer, this belief in the promises of God that God would protect the people of God, and in this case, the people of Israel, especially Old Testamentally, they would be the people of God. And so this is, I think, both a prayer and a calling on the promise of God. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I think about, I lift my eyes to the mountains, that we walk up to Jerusalem, that Jerusalem is above the places ahead of us. And so am I looking at Mount Zion as I lift my eyes to the mountains? Don't know for sure. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God does not get tired. God does not get tired of caring for you. God does not get tired of loving you. God is looking out for and desires the best for you, his child. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, I've not yet gotten a moon burn, so I have not been harmed by the moon by night, but it's nice. I think the idea here with the psalmist is that always and for all time that God is watching over you, one of his people. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Now, the Lord will keep you from all harm is a hard thing, and we've talked about that in the podcast, that bad things do happen to good people. But we know that God desires what is best for those who are his children. God doesn't keep us always from all harm, though. But this is the prayer, I think, of this worshiper who is walking up towards Jerusalem and towards the city of God. Psalm 122, a song of ascents of David. I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. There stands the throne for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. It's easy to see within this psalm that idea of this pilgrim going up to Jerusalem. I rejoice with those who said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. You get that sense here that this would be a wonderful song to sing as a pilgrim heading to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up. And again, this is a song of ascents. The tribes are going up to the tribes of the Lord to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statutes given to Israel. There stands the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And so we're going up to Jerusalem to worship. Now, we don't go to Jerusalem to worship, necessarily. I have been to Jerusalem. I have worshipped in Jerusalem. I don't know whether you have. It's a great experience, but it's not the seminal experience it would be for the people of God in that day. Where do we go up to? Where do we go to worship? Certainly we go to church, and sometimes we go to retreats or up to the mountaintop experiences or those sorts of things. But where do we go to meet God? And that's really what part of worship means, is to have that meaningful experience with God. And it's interesting to think about this psalm in that way, the worshiper who is looking for a chance to worship God, to be in the presence of God, which for them meant Jerusalem. For us, it can mean all sorts of different places. Where do you go to meet God and to tell God how much you value that relationship with him? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, I will seek your prosperity. I think some of this can be taken completely literally. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Israel. I would say also for the peace of Israel's neighbors, because you can't really have one without the other. I think we're seeing that right now at this time. But pray for the security and the peace of your family and friends as well. And that is certainly a prayer that I do every day. It's certainly one I would encourage you to do. Think about those you love and care for. Thank God for them and pray that God will bless them. And I pray that God will bless you this week. And with that, we'll end this episode of the Bible Study Podcast. If you have any questions, send an email to host@thebiblestudypodcast.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at thebiblestudypodcast.com. And thanks so much for listening. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
God kept calling my heart. Like, I just knew he was my safe place.
I hope people don't walk away going, wow, you're really awesome, more than like, wow, Jesus is really interesting, and he's really awesome.
Everybody on this planet is dealing with some sort of what if.
How does that one courageous decision affect the whole world?
A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for.
If you were encouraged by what you just heard, please search Trevor Talks on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com.